The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined here in the studio on a busy day of action. Craig Burley is with me. Also on the program, Frank LaBeouf and Shaq Hislop are with us. In a moment, we'll talk about Manchester United's elimination from this year's Champions League. But we'll start with those scenes in Paris that saw the match between PSG and Istanbul suspended. As it stands, as we go to air, it is thought it will go ahead on Wednesday. But the reason it was suspended in the identifying Pierre Weber, the Istanbul assistant coach, the fourth official used a racial slur that was heard by both sides. Then in solidarity, both teams walked off and did not return to the pitch in PSG. Shaka, let's start with you. Your reaction to this.
First of all, I'll start as I'll finish, and I'd like to credit both teams for taking decisive and unified action as they did. PSG in supporting Istanbul, and Istanbul in voicing their concerns around something that the fourth official said to the referee in addressing Pierre Weber, and just given some of the exchanges, and in particular the discussion that Demba Ba then went on to have with the officiating team, is that the fourth official and identifying Weber to the referee to be red carded said, and we'll assume it's in Romanian because it was a Romanian officiating team, the black guy needs to be sent off. And to Demba Ba's point, if it were a white official, that same fourth referee or fourth official on the sidelines would not say a white official. So you're treading a very thin line when you start to use race in identifying people, in particular in this context with sending someone off. It highlights a couple of key issues here. One, and most importantly, and we've had this discussion before. We've had this discussion around the use of language and race with Luis Suarez, dating way back to his Liverpool days and his incidents with Patrice Evra. We've had it, what was it, a week ago, 10 days ago, with Edinson Cavani and something that he had on he put on social media. We've had it in the past with Bernardo Silva and Mendy at Manchester City. It's time for clubs and confederations, and in this instance UEFA and FIFA, to recognize the moment that we're in, to recognize the game, what it stands for, and where the pitfalls are. The international and diverse nature of today's game means there needs to be more sensitivity training around the use of language. Even if you want to take just the general diversity and the number of different nationalities and address them aside, in this game, you have a team from France, a team from Turkey, and a refereeing team from Romania. That is fraught with all kinds of issues in terms of the different languages and different contexts. And until the officials start to take these issues seriously and be proactive in how they deal with it, and be proactive in how they educate their officials, and clubs do the same with their players, we are going to have these discussions again. Over the last couple of years, I have come to know far too much about how language is used around race, from Uruguay to Portugal to now Romania, than I care to have ever known. And the football authorities, in my opinion, are the ones who have to bear the brunt of the responsibility here. But I'll finish again. I cannot do anything but applaud with all my being both PSG and Istanbul for the unified action that they took in the face of what they interpreted as a racist action.
Frank, it was striking, wasn't it, as we saw those pictures and the discussions happening on the sidelines, that this wasn't one team walking off and the others following. This was both walking off together.
Yeah, and this is absolutely fantastic. And Shaka has a right to say that we have to applaud them. And because it's the first time that we see a reaction like that. We saw so many players being booed, insulted, and suffering from racism and going out of the game and the pitch, but by themselves. And the first time that we see two teams deciding to stop the game and to make clear that they're against racism. I would have loved to see more white, because I'm going to name them, white players be more involved in the disagreement of carrying it on. Because we saw Dembaba, I think the guy who made sure that the game was stopped, and going to the main referee and saying what he was thinking about that. But we saw Mbappe, Neymar, Marquinhos, Pierre Wobe also, and of course Dembaba being very present in that moment, where we didn't see the other ones. And I named the white players who show almost just staying there, waiting for the circumstances to be said. We have to stop that. We have to stop that because it's the future of the world who is in case and at stake. So we have to make sure that everybody is involved in the same matter.
Players have made a statement which has resonated. This has made headlines around the world.
Yeah, I mean, there's not too much I can add to what the two lads have already said, other than to say that the consequences have to be greater every time, because we've seen, and the boys have touched on it, too many occasions where things have just been sort of swept aside and say, yeah, we'll deal with it and then we'll move on. This is an embarrassment for UEFA, huge embarrassment. And the players were right. Solidarity. The game does not go back on today. We redo the game tomorrow with a new refereeing team. And at least they've made a stance. Mm. And so the consequences for those involved have to be greater. And that's one of the ways that you're going to have to deal with this, because you can't just keep giving people a little slap on the wrist for these situations, because in this day and age, it's just not good enough.
Well, despite the fact PSG didn't play, they did qualify today because of the result in Germany that saw Leipzig beat Manchester United by 3-2. Leipzig were 3-0 up, looked like they were cruising. United got a couple of quick goals late on, and you thought, Craig, here it is. Manchester United once again staging one of these now trademark comebacks under Solskjaer, but it didn't happen this time.
No, it didn't happen, and been saying on the show for a few days, you can't keep getting away with it. And once again, they were atrocious at the start of the game. They went in with a defensive set-up. Telles in as a wing-back on one side, Wan-Bissaka as a wing-back on the other side. But Leipzig were always going to play three up front, and that was going to push the two wing-backs back, and that allowed Sabitzer and Kevin Campbell to dominate the game. Look, Man United deserve to be in the Europa League because that's where they are at. That's their standard at the moment. They are a club that, you know, who some may say, well, we're in a good run in the Premier League. They were up to fifth and now sixth because Southampton are above them. You know, that's the kind of standard they're at the moment. They are being piloted by a manager who I will continually say is out his depth at this size of club. I will continually say it. And they have an ownership that are only interested in the balance sheet. They have a haphazard policy when it comes to transfers. We've seen Chelsea this summer go out and go, bang, 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 early. That is what we need. Here's the problems. Bang. Let's solve it. What did we see Man United do? We saw them hover over the edge of the cliff waiting and then do nothing. And so this is what you get. So it falls on the players. And then we've got the debacle that is Mina Raiola and Paul Pogba. Now, Pogba comes on again, gets himself a goal off a deflection, and they're back in the game. So the whole thing is just rotten to the core. And I hate to say it, but it's not only the manager that needs to change at this club, but the ownership needs to change, I think, for them to go forward and really challenge the big boys at the top of the domestic game and the top of the European tree again.
Frank, let's not forget, Manchester United just needed a draw going into this tie, yet they were so exposed continuously at the back. You had flashbacks to that game against Spurs. In a match in which you could have kept it tight, they failed to get anywhere near that.
Yeah, exactly. And it happened after 2 minutes after the beginning of the game.
I guess they played a three at the back, where I wouldn't have played like that, knowing that the two back on the side from Leipzig go forward and like to go forward. And it happened like that with a fantastic pass from Sabitzer to concede the first goal for Manchester United. And I think it's a real problem of consistency. And Craig mentioned that you cannot think that you can go and go through the qualification group if you're not consistent. They got 6 points in two games, in the first two games of the Champions League, and they won only one other in out of four. So it's not enough. And I think they deserve to go in Europa League. It may be a better competition for them for this season.
When you're battling with the big boys, you've got to put in big boys' performances, Shaka, week in, week out. And that's exactly what United failed to do. Didn't get that point here today. Let's not forget that horrible result against Istanbul as well. Overall, schoolboy errors from a team that should know better.
Should know better, and I put this down a lot to maybe a complacency or a certain self-arrogance around Manchester United. In the build-up to this game, I thought the 5-0 drubbing at Old Trafford would play into United's hands in terms of their own psychology going into this one, and I think it was exactly the opposite. You saw that in going to West Ham and their first half performance, where they could quite easily have been three behind. Yet they turn it on in the second half and are convincing winners. And again, you come in here against RB Leipzig, a team that you absolutely trounced in the first leg, and the game is all but over in the first, 18 minutes. And then all of a sudden, there is this response in the second half where Manchester United play better. They get their breaks. They are on the front foot. And they seem to cope with Leipzig's threat a whole lot better. They had a couple of narrow escapes, as the boys have mentioned. But still, we're talking about Manchester United here. At this point, you haven't figured out that you can't go to a club like RB Leipzig and give them that kind of start. That you have to keep things tight early on. That you have to play as a unit. A total lack of any kind of cohesion within United's squad. Real lack of any kind of a plan. And with it, that sense of complacency. It's a recipe for disaster.
Let's go back to Frank's point. Let that sink in. Won their first two games in this group.
Yep.
There it was, qualification, palm of your hand, very early. Won with a counter-attacking game in Paris. The trouncing that he gave Leipzig, I've always said to you, it was an anomaly, because they were outplayed for most of the game. Whatever, what the hell Leipzig happened to them in the second half, I'll never know. But that is their Achilles heel defensively, and it almost cost them tonight again. The only other game they won was at home to Beşiktaş. I mean, they lost in Turkey.
Yeah.
That sums it up. Mm. Look, let me say, you know, Manchester.
Yeah, Craig,
go on.
Craig, when you have only one way to play a game and you concede a goal because you play in counter-attack, and we talk about Tottenham a lot, you know, they are first in the Premier League and they only defend and play in counter-attack, which is also the case of Manchester United. When you plan with three defenders at the back, you plan to defend and to play in counter-attack with Leipzig, but you concede a goal after 2 minutes. What can you do when you have only one way to defend? Mm. How can you change your tactic? That's the main problem.
So the scouting department obviously never told United that Angelino likes to get forward, who, by the way, is a Man City outcast.
Everything was going down that flank.
Everyone was going down that left-hand side. Wan-Bissaka got no help whatsoever, none. But look at it, you know, Manchester United, middle of the park, McTominay and Matic. I mean, really?
But then how much is that? We obviously see the Leipzig side, and I want to talk about Leipzig. I do in a moment. But you mentioned the fact that the board have not particularly back Solskjaer. So how much blame should he receive when you take a look at the backing that other clubs, you mentioned Chelsea. Yeah. Well, and who did Solskjaer have to bring off the bench?
Well,
one today.
This was the problem Mourinho had as well, because he looked at the board and he thought, clueless. Just clueless in their transfer policy. And that is a problem. Recruitment is a problem. But so is the manager. We know the manager is in there because he was an ex-player who came in and put some fires out short term, and then they gave him the job. Oh, this is great. There you go, give him the job. And we know that his former teammates in the UK will not say anything against him. We know that. It's everybody else's fault. It's De Gea's fault, it's the player's fault, it's Woodward's fault. But they haven't got the stomach to say Solskjaer had done nothing in his managerial... Let's be honest. If you're going to get one of these top jobs, if you're going to get the Liverpool job, the City job, any of these top jobs, Bayern Munich, you have to have something. You have to have done something in your CV that says managing a huge club. He hadn't, apart from coming in for a three-month period, putting his arm around a few people and putting some fires out. So there's, whilst it's not all his fault, they're not going to go forward with one bit of recruitment and two, a proper manager in there. A proper manager like we see other clubs who can go in, who can coach, who can get the tactics right and has got a CV that says, I can manage Manchester United and get them back amongst the big boys. But that being said, I still will say that the ownership are doing none of these managers that come in any favours. But the question I would ask myself, if a really good manager was in there, would they be better than they are? And I think the answer is yes. Not good enough to be challenging in the Champions League, but better than they are.
Let me just add to that, Dan. I mean, listen, I understand the excuses offered to Ole Gunnar Solskjaer in terms of the board not really backing him. And that's true to a sense. But at the same time, who has improved under Solskjaer? Who is playing better football? Bruno Fernandes came in January and had probably the best 6 months of anybody in the league. I'm not sure you can say that this time around in the first, what, 2 or 3 months of this season. For the spending or lack of, or however you want to interpret it, everybody in that dressing room has regressed. So that is also a concern when you are talking about who needs to manage this club in the long term and who you trust with money long term.
Matt, listen to your diary.
Oh.
You got a diary?
No, I don't think people really have diaries anymore, do
Mark
they?
It on your phone.
Right, okay.
Until this manager leaves his club, we're going to be having this same conversation.
Right.
Every 2 to 3 weeks.
So what
weeks.
Do I put it in? Like every week? Like on a Tuesday? Every like how does this work?
I'm telling you, we've had this conversation so many times. This conversation is going to continue until they make the correct decisions. We're going to be sitting here saying, well, got a couple of good results, look better. Bang. Disaster. Trust me, every 3 weeks.
I'm sorry, Leipzig fans. I did want to talk a bit and give you credit, obviously, for advancing. We will talk
about...
And
they have no Upamecano either.
No Upamecano, obviously, as well. 3-3 against Bayern, then 3-2 against Manchester United. What a great couple of results for them. We'll talk about them maybe on Extra Time. You can check that out over on our YouTube channel. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
What a result for Juventus in Group G, going to Barcelona and getting a 3-0 win, which gives them the edge when it comes to head-to-head, meaning that Pirlo's side finished top of the group in qualification. Weston McKennie with a goal. And Ali Moreno joins us now. Cristiano Ronaldo with a couple of penalties. And boy, did he enjoy scoring them, Ali.
Of course he did. Well, anybody who played for Juventus today enjoyed that game. It was like a practice game for them. Honestly, Barcelona never got close to challenging Juventus. You look at Barcelona and you evaluate this team, and the real question for me, and it's a serious question. How bad, and I mean how terrible, is this team right now? The Messi dependency more so than ever, but that's only part of the issue. That only speaks to one part of so many things that are going wrong for this team. They don't get close to anybody defensively. They don't pressure the ball together. They don't work as a team. They don't look connected like a team. This is a group that is all over the place, just 11 guys running around, doing their own thing and hoping that something happens. And more so than anything, what you see from this team for the first 20 or 30 minutes was a team that, you know what, didn't care. Just didn't show any sort of intensity, didn't show any sort of urgency, any sort of fight. Juventus goes to Camp Nou, and they're the ones knocking the ball around. And Barcelona is just very comfortable, just kind of chasing the ball from one place to the other. I can throw so many names under the bus right now, but let's just single one guy out in particular. Miralem Pjanic, who this week came out and said, you know what, I haven't been playing enough in the league. I'm not getting enough minutes. I was brought here to play. Okay, fantastic. He gets an opportunity to play against his former team in Juventus. So you think if there was ever a chance and an opportunity to showcase what is it that you bring to Barcelona, this is it. Nothing. Well, how many tackles did Miralem Pjanic win in the midfield? Close to zero. How many tackles did Frenkie de Jong win through the midfield? Close to zero. If you're not tackling through the middle, and then how open can Weston McKennie be in that second goal? So you're not defending in the back either, and you're not scoring goals in the front, what you get is a real, real, real bad team. This team is terrible right now.
And it's been terrible in La Liga, but the Champions League has been their little respite. They went into this game perfect, let's not forget. That was obliterated tonight.
This club have annoyed me ever since they nicked Martin Braithwaite from Leganés.
And this is karma. Is this a karma for it now?
They have. Because that tells you what a bunch of desperados that they were. Why the hell would Ronald Koeman walk out of a more than decent Dutch national team that are going to the Euros to walk in there to be a stopgap before the presidential elections?
Yep.
And did he think he's not going to be a stopgap? Then he's thicker than he looks. On top of that, the Messi debacle was already getting played out, so he knew he was getting a very, very, very unhappy player. And on top of that, there was a host of all other issues. So, and two, why would they hire him anyway? I mean, the whole thing just doesn't, it doesn't make sense from Barcelona, it doesn't make sense from Ronald Koeman. And, you know, they have these presidential elections or whatever it is next year, and everything's going to be rosy again in the garden. I think not.
This game, Shaka, was billed as Ronaldo against Messi. One man looked defeated throughout this game.
Yeah, and listen, you understand both Messi's and Ronaldo's reactions during the course of this game, and for good reason. But just to add to what Craig said and to your previous question, Dan, Barcelona went into this game perfect because of who else is in this group, Dinamo Kiev and Ferencvaros. And let's remember, Ronaldo was out in the first leg because he tested positive for COVID, and Barcelona go to Turin and win 2-0. The biggest concern for me here, and the as much as Ali say, you can throw any number of names under the bus, and rightly so, the biggest concern is in Ronald Koeman. How you get this so wrong? If you at least get your tactics right, then we can point to maybe the underperformances of so many wearing the Barcelona shirt today. I read a report on Cadiz's manager on the weekend, picking Barcelona apart about how poor they are tactically. They rely on their width on their wing backs, Dest and Jordi Alba. And here's my concern with Ronald Koeman. I manager who has extensive managerial history behind him, and you can make what you like of it, but you get out-coached, out-thought, out-tacticked if by Andrea Pirlo, somebody in his first job, by just pushing Cuadrado and Alexandro up the other sides. Ridiculous.
We talked about the Cadiz manager on the show yesterday, Shaq. Thanks for watching. In the other group, Chelsea sounding the knowledge they would go through top. Can only manage a 1-1 draw against Krasnodar today.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
There was a scare for Lazio today. They looked like they were cruising 2-1 up against 10-man Club Brugge. Club Brugge, though, got an equaliser, and a winner would see them advance. In the end, Lazio hold on for the win. They finished second in the group. Borussia Dortmund advanced top of Group F. That's it then. That brings us to the end of today's show. Thank you very much to everyone who's been on. We'll be back tomorrow for more Champions League talk. Until then, goodbye. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you, as always, for your tweets. Shaka, Craig and Frank with us. Craig, I want to start with you because I promised we'd talk about Leipzig.
I'm over here.
A little bit. I know, it's weird. I don't know where to look. I'm going to look at the camera and pretend you're right, not right next to me. Is it the Brady Bunch? Craig?
This is just so we can get those other ones in.
Oh, look at that close up.
Look at those pretty faces, look.
Yeah.
Look at that.
Shaka will definitely have a long blink at some stage. Leipzig, Craig. Tell me about them.
Leipzig, fantastic early on. Played some great stuff. Had the offside goal. Could have been three when Forsberg should have scored. It was excellent early on. And then as normal when you're winning by that amount, you take your foot off the gas a little bit, Daniel, and we know Leipzig, sometimes they're not cute enough when they've got a lead. They're not, like you said to me earlier, they're not an Atletico Madrid.
Yeah.
They just kill the game off. And they just thought, well, we'll just keep going. We'll try and get a fourth and a fifth and whatever. And so they left themselves a little bit open. And it almost cost them in the end. And that is their Achilles heel. But they played some great stuff again. They bossed the game in the middle of the park. And they put behind them the 5-0 drubbing at Old Trafford.
Yep.
They came back, rolled their sleeves up and got the job done.
Shaka, is the PSG Istanbul game a turning point in football?
I hope so. Listen, there's been a lot of debate about players walking off the field when they feel that they've been subject to racist abuse by usually talking about fans. But I think both clubs showing the unified action that they did in the moment that they did, with everything at stake, to both teams walk off, I hope it sends a message to the wider football fraternity that this is an action that more can and should take.
Frank,
yeah,
Manu.
You know, Dan, something important about that, is that the fact there is nobody in the stand allowed us to hear what the referee was saying, and Pierre Robert as well. With everybody in the stand, I'm not sure something would have come out coming from there.
Frank, Manu lose, Pogba agent out, team regressing. Is it high time Manchester United get rid of Solskjaer? You have two managers with proven capability in Allegri and Pochettino sitting unemployed. What is stopping them from looking for better managers?
Well, that should be a question for Craig Burley. he knows exactly what's going on there and how to answer to that. Yeah, I think Ole should leave. I think there is a there is a time now where, you know, you have to go back to what Manchester United used to be, an ambitious club with somebody with real experience and players really willing to wet the shirt, as we say in France, and really to die for the club. And I don't see that right now and for a long time.
He's not going to go.
I don't think so. I don't think they have the stomach to do it. But, you know, let's look at it one way. If Solskjaer, if they were to punt Solskjaer in the next couple of weeks and a top job came up somewhere, a couple of top jobs came up, do you think he'd be on the list? Like, if a job came up in Spain...
No, that's true. But you could say the same about Frank Lampard. Like, he's got in at Chelsea without any great managerial experience, yeah? Right. He's come in after what he did at Derby, didn't exactly make a big statement there. So overall...
Whoa. He took Derby all the way to the Championship playoff final.
Yeah, but they didn't get promotion. That was a one-off game.
It's a bit like saying, well, you know, Man City lost to Wigan in the FA Cup final.
If Solskjaer was backed like Lampard has been, there's no telling the success that maybe they could have had.
Well, no, you're wrong there. I'll tell you why you're wrong. Because this is Lampard's first foray into management. Solskjaer's been managing for a decade.
Right.
With no real success.
But Lampard is successful at Chelsea because he's been backed. Yes.
Yeah, Solskjaer managed for 10 years, including a job at Cardiff City where he was sacked, and with no notable success in the elite level. Mm. So that. And this is Lampard's first foray into management. Go on, Shaq.
I was just going to say, well, and Lampard had zero money to spend when he first arrived at Stamford Bridge and got Chelsea into fourth. And so understandably, now the ownership is saying, well, okay, you've shown what you can do because of the transfer ban, spending nothing. We're prepared to back you. And I think he earned that.
Right, let me go back over this just briefly. Lampard is an unknown. It's a little bit of an unknown about where it's going to go. Mm-hmm. Because Derby County was his first job, and then straight off the back of that, he was in at Chelsea. In Solskjaer's 10 years or so of managing, there is nothing in there to suggest he should be the manager of Man United. Had there been, you know, had he been moved from Norway to Germany or wherever it is, and he was, you know, he was doing what Nagelsmann's doing at Leipzig or whatever, But that wasn't there. That he got the job for the very fact he was a former player and they needed somebody to put a smile on the faces of the Mourinho era. Simple as that.
Is Craig a fortune teller?
Yes.
Right, with Giroud starting, and now with Manchester United getting knocked out, what's his next prediction? Well, you didn't predict they were going to get knocked out. You said they were going to qualify.
No, I said if...
You said they were going to qualify.
I said if Leipzig...
Yesterday you said...
If Leipzig shut out Bruno Fernandes, which they did, and that's an analysis, they would go out. The Giroud one, I didn't think was a difficult one to predict. Although Steve,
but you didn't predict to the United one.
I thought United could get a result with their counter-attack.
You said they get a result, yeah. So you got that one wrong.
Yes,
so
that's clearly I'm not a fortune teller.
What is your next prediction?
I'm going to come over there and give you a heavy slap.
No, there's a box in the way now. You can't. Does this settle the Messi against Ronaldo debate?
Oh, Jesus. God. Who's picked these questions?
Oh, I think our boss did pick them today.
God.
Ronaldo, of course, with a brace. Juventus beating Barcelona today. Shaka, did you watch this one?
I watched bits of it.
Well, that's Juventus, a no. That's Juventus, a no. Juventus. Did you read that book? I looked at the cover.
No. I watched it. Actually, I watched your game, now that I think about it.
Oh, really?
Just remembered.
Listen, if our boss has picked those questions, there has to be a question in there about Ronaldinho or Mario Balotelli.
It has to be.
I'd be shocked if there's not.
Shaka, what are your thoughts on Buffon's performance tonight? For a 42-year-old, it's quite impressive.
Or is it an indictment as to how bad Barcelona are that they make Buffon look good?
Yeah, well, a little bit of both, actually. I mean, Barca's only threat came from Messi, but Buffon was good. Buffon was very good on the day, and credit to him. But truth be told, this is as poor Barcelona as you've ever seen. Messi huffed and puffed, but other than that, goodness me, they are bad.
There's hope for Shaq yet, isn't there?
Not really. Hope for what?
There's got to be some oil out there or something.
Hope to do what in his life?
There's got to be some natural remedy that he can put in his joints.
Really?
Yeah, something that makes him not go down in installments.
There's a thing we call snake oil. There's a thing we call snake oil in Trinidad that might do the job. But I'll need to go back to Trinidad to get some.
Oh.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Frank, final question. Vardy.
This COVID has been a nightmare for Shaka's vacations, hasn't
it? Yeah, it really has.
I mean, it really has stuffed him. He's actually been at home. What was the question?
Well, I haven't asked it yet. Frank, Vardy...
Wait a minute, he's actually been at home. Hold on a minute. He's actually been at home.
Well, yeah.
But yeah, you're off gallivanting mostly,
listen,
Shaq.
You're either...
Feathers, carnival.
You're either at the carnival in Feathers. Oh, you're either on the I-84 or you're getting a haircut in Hartford. One of the two.
Vardy, a boyhood Sheffield Wednesday fan, scored against Sheffield United and it clearly meant a lot to him, Frank. In your playing days, did you ever get to score a goal against a club that you hated when you were growing up?
Well, I've never been a fan, so it's not really a question for me. I followed in France, you know, we're not crazy fan when we get born and we say, OK, you are going to have to follow until the rest of your life this, a team or another one. I follow Saint-Etienne, then Bastia, then Marseille, then Paris Saint-Germain. I don't know. Being born in Marseille, you normally hate Paris Saint-Germain. But it's not really the case for me.
Did you enjoy when you scored a goal, Frank, when you were in the Premier League or beyond? Did you enjoy scoring against a team more than others?
No, I was very happy to hammer any club that I played against. Oh, no one in special, especially.
Craig?
No.
Well, I scored against Rangers, but I didn't hate Rangers. I mean, I didn't support Rangers, but I just hated the fact that they might have won the league.
Yep.
So, I mean, I don't think, maybe some players do. I don't personally think many think like that. I think all they want to do is do it for their team.
Right.
Rather than do it because they don't like another team. I mean, maybe some do, I don't know.
Shaka, did you enjoy beating a team more than others?
Well, I do remember that towering assist I had for West Ham against Spurs. That allowed
Is that when you ducked out the way so Anton Ferdinand could score, Shaq?
It was a towering assist.
Yeah, right.
Did you ever let any goals in because you quite liked the team? Just because it seemed that way.
That's a good excuse.
Oh, my God.
Oops.
That's a weekly... Shaka must have liked a lot of teams. That is it. Thank you very much to everyone. We will be back tomorrow for more. The big game, of course, Real Madrid against Borussia Mönchengladbach. Madrid facing elimination.